listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
We're continuing in our mission and vision series, and we will be starting once again in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. So I'm a strong believer in repetition, in case you haven't noticed, but our mission is love God, love others. Our vision is to grow together in our knowledge of God and His great love for us, and express our love for God and one another through prayer, Bible study, wholehearted worship, local outreach, global missions, and sharing of our spiritual gifts, material resources, and practical service. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 is the scripture reference that God put on my heart, but there could have been many others that, as we're going to see tonight, that God would have used, but this is the one that He really put on my heart for our church for this time. So again, it's 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, doesn't it feel good? Yeah, read the scriptures together. Tonight we're focusing in on verse 10, where it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So let's take this one phrase at a time. It says, as each one. So each one, that is all believers. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've accepted Him into your heart and made Him your Lord, well, He has a gift for you. And He wants you to walk in that gift. And so it says, as each one, all believers, has received a gift. The Greek word is charisma. It's a spiritual gift. So the gift, a gift is something that is both given and received. It's given and received. And you don't get to choose what gift you get. That's kind of the nature of a gift. Is it's given to you, and it's chosen by the gift giver. So we don't choose what we get, but since the gift comes from God, God chooses. He's the one who chooses the gift that you get. It doesn't hurt to put in your request, to ask Him. The Bible says to desire the gifts, and so that's okay, but it's up to Him. He's the one in control of the gifts that He gives and to whom He gives it and when. Our choice is to receive the gift or to reject it. To reject it. How do you reject it? Well, you don't answer the call of God when He calls you into something where you will use your gift and you say no and you don't do it. We reject it by not using the gift that He's given. And we may reject it because of jealousy or because of pride, whether it's a position or a specific spiritual skill that God gives us, whatever it be. I think of Korah, you know, Korah in the Old Testament, and how he rebelled against Moses and said, I want that position. And he said, Moses, who made you the leader over us? I'm qualified too. And God made very clear that Korah was in the wrong and was stepping outside of his lane, if you will. and was rejecting his own call and his own ministry by seeking to step into someone else's call, someone else's ministry. And so we believe in faith that God knows best and has given the supernatural gift to match the natural interests and abilities that we have. Isn't that awesome how God works that way? He gives us natural gifts and abilities and interests even. And then he'll give us a gift, a spiritual gift, a supernatural gift that will align with the natural, with the natural. I know people who are really good salespeople naturally. They have a natural gift for it. They love people. They love to talk to people. They love to talk to strangers, and they're comfortable doing that. And then they get saved, and they become a Christian. And lo and behold, God gives them a spiritual gift of evangelism, sharing Jesus with others. I have a very good friend of mine who's such a wonderful evangelist, but also a very successful salesperson. Except if you watch him in operation when he's evangelizing, he uses other gifts in his evangelism. He'll be talking to someone, and I've witnessed this, and he'll say, like, the Holy Spirit will just give him discernment and understanding of the person's situation to whom he's speaking to. And he'll go, so you've had a lot of boyfriends, huh? Yeah. Boy, you've been really hurt by this, by some of these guys, haven't you? Yeah, I have. And he's just, the Holy Spirit's like leading him to speak these things into the person's life and then speak the answer and bring the gospel. And he's very, very anointed at doing that. And so anyway, God knows best. And he gives us the gifts that will best match us, our natural interests, our natural abilities. Think of it this way, like a Christmas gift, right? And so God gives the gift just like we would receive a gift at Christmas. And so you're there, you're by the tree or whatever, and you have the gift and you open it up. There's your part, right? You receive the gift and then you open it to find out what it is. And then you find out what it is and you can either act like the spoiled child. Oh, man! This isn't what I wanted. This is lame. And if you're the gift giver, you feel bad. Like, you know, you feel mad because, oh man, look at the way they're reacting. That's not, you know, nice. But also you feel bad because you want to get them what they want and what's going to bless them. And God knows every time exactly what we need and what will be the biggest blessing to us. And so then once you open it, the appropriate reaction is, whether you're happy with it or not in that moment, is thank you, God. You know best. Somehow this is going to be useful to me. And it's going to be used for your glory. And then you take it out of the package. This is still your part, right? God's given you the gift. You open it. You see what it is. You give him glory. You take it out and you stick it in some drawer somewhere never to be seen again. No. You use it. You use it. And this is what the intention of a gift is. It's here, this is for you for a purpose, so that you can use it for a purpose. And we'll talk more on that later. And so each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another. To minister means to serve. So we're to have an attitude of service as we use our gifts. And remember that the object of the service is to the Lord and to one another. Sound familiar? Love God, love others. And he says, here are some gifts so that you can go love me and love others. And then it says, as good stewards. Stewards, what's a steward? A steward is a caretaker. It's a manager or an administrator of something. So imagine that you inherit an estate with plenty of resources to maintain it and to manage it. And you've been given the responsibility then to do just that. Here's your estate. It's all yours. You can have it. It's a gift. All the resources you need. Even a crew of servants and people that will care for the grounds and everything. You just have to make sure that they do their thing. And, you know, all of the various activities that would be involved in caring for an estate and the people who live there. You're a steward, and God's given you this. And so he says, be a good steward. Do it well. You've got everything you need to do it. Now just do it. Right? Like the Nike thing. Just do it. And so we don't want to be lazy. We don't want to get discouraged and fall short of our calling and our purpose. But we want to take our gifts that God's given, be good stewards of that grace, and use them for the purpose which God has given. And then lastly here, it says, of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold is varied, varied. Poikilos is the Greek word. It means various colors or sorts. I think of a kaleidoscope. I think of Joseph's coat of many colors, you know. He had the manifold grace of God upon his life, a gift of administrating. He had dreams from the Lord. He was a very gifted person, his coat of many colors. Well, God gives varied gifts that are his grace, his grace. He has grace that forgives. He has grace that makes alive. He's got grace that gives strength, grace that comforts, grace that preserves, grace that calls us home when it's time. That is his grace, friends. It's a deliverance. Grace. But in context here, he's speaking of the gifts. And the gifts are given in grace. It's his grace. We don't earn the gifts that he gives us. But he gives it to us anyway. Anyway. Now, he doesn't give us all the gifts, each and every one of us, right? We're just given a measure. Jesus Christ had all the gifts without measure. We can look at his life and all the different gifts that are listed and identify all of them in operation in the life of Jesus. But we, as the body of Christ, we together, the individual parts that make up the whole, the body of Christ, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a group. But no one of us has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit by ourselves. You see, we were made to be dependent upon one another. We were not made to be independent of each other, but we were made to be interdependent. We rely on each other. We need each other in order to fulfill God's call and purpose for us as a group. So in order for us to really carry that out and be obedient to that, we have to be together. We have to gather together. We have to communicate with one another. And this happens here at church. This happens at small groups. Could happen on a Zoom call or something like that, where we are ministering the gifts to one another. But it doesn't happen if we're passive and not interacting. So you can go to a church, sit down, and then as soon as it's over, pew, skip out and not talk to anybody. Or you can sit at your home and you can listen to a message online. And if you never get on a Zoom call or you never come in and be in person, then there's no interaction and there's no exercising of the gifts. So it is important that we understand that we are created to be interdependent, dependent on one another, or else we're missing a part. And we're not going to be able to fulfill God's purpose for us as a whole. Very important. Now, there are three sections of Scripture that speak pretty extensively on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the first one is in Romans 12, 3 through 8. So you can start turning there right now. The second one is Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. And then we'll finish with 1 Corinthians, because the 1 Corinthians passage is the most extensive passage on the topic. Okay, so we're in Romans chapter 12 right now. The Apostle Paul is going to expound here on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Romans 12. By the way, Romans 12 is an amazing passage of Scripture. I remember Pastor Chuck saying that he, for an entire year, he read 1 Corinthians 12 every day for a year. That inspired me, and so I decided to do the same thing, and I decided to take time to memorize the chapter, which I'm so happy I did, but because of my memory, I can't recite it anymore. But I know it. I'm very familiar with it. I'll put it to you that way. So in Romans 12, though, 3 through 8, he specifically speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he says in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," or realistically, "as God dealt to each one a measure of faith." There it is. Each one has been given a measure of faith. And so we need to heed this warning and stay in our lane, stay focused on our part and what God has called us to, and don't try to get over and do what someone else is supposed to be doing. You'll burn out, you'll get tired, you will be operating in the flesh instead of the Spirit. And as children of God, we are to be led by the Holy Spirit, listening to Him, doing what He calls us to do. And sometimes people will try and pull you into things that you're just like, "I don't really feel good about this. And, you know, honestly, I don't think I have a talent for it." And they're going, "No, this is what we all should be doing." And it's like, "No, wait a second, that's what you should be doing. I'm actually supposed to be doing this over here." And so when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So when we say yes, let's make sure that we're not saying no to what God wants us to be doing. So he's saying here, hey, don't be prideful. Some people are prideful and they think that they can do everything better than anyone else, no matter what it is. And so they will try to shove the people aside that are supposed to be doing it and do it themselves. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but God's dealt with each one a measure of faith. Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." And so the human body has parts to it, and all of those parts form a single body with a single purpose, right? A single purpose at any given time. Right now, my purpose is to share the Word of God with you, and my hands are cooperating with me on that one. Right? And my feet, okay, walk over here and do something. And my eyes, right? My body is working together for a particular purpose right now. We like it when the body works together when we sit down to eat, right? Everything's working together to get the right portion of food into the right place where it can then be assimilated and used for energy. Right? So the feet have to get us to the table. The tushy has to make it comfortable when we sit down. And then the hands, right? And they cut and they get that right portion and bring it to the mouth, who's very thankful to the hand for that, etc. You get the idea. And so we are like that spiritually as well. And each part has a purpose and a function with a common goal within the body. So verse 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." If you're taking notes and you like to write in your Bible, underline that. Let us use them. Use them. Remember, the gift isn't any good unless we take it out and we use it. We use it. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You see, it starts with a measure of faith, and we, you know, God says, here's your gift. It's prophecy. And here's the faith to use it. Now go take that faith that you've been given and the gift that you've been given and go use it. So if the gift is prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, what is prophecy? It's delivering a message from God. That's what prophecy is. And if you think about it, that's what I'm doing right now as I'm sharing the scriptures, the word of God, then I'm prophesying, sharing the word. It doesn't always look like that. Sometimes, right, it's a word from God, a specific word for someone, and you share it with them, and it's like, oh, that was from God. And so often it happens in a natural way, where you don't even realize it. You're just talking to someone, and then boom, you say something, and it jumps out at them. I remember when I first moved back from Colorado, we were praying as a group together. Everybody came around me and Christy, and they were praying. And then Terry Hill just prayed out this word. You know, he just said, aggressive. And it just hit me. Boom, like, oh my gosh, that's from the Lord. And so then I went around and started punching everybody. No, I'm just kidding. But I grabbed hold of that word, and I think of the things that, you know, I've had to do that would, for me, it would be considered aggressive. Like the Holy Spirit saying, go over to that school and talk to those people. Aggressive. Oh, yeah, okay. Let's do it in the name of Jesus. Let's do it. You know, be bold, be courageous. That's what I took out of it. And so, you know, he had no idea. But the Lord was speaking to me through him. It was a prophetic word. Prophetic word. So prophecy, verse 7, or ministry. This would be practical service. It says, let us use it in our ministering. Use what? Faith. Let us use faith in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who teaches, use faith in teaching. Verse 8, he who exhorts, an exhortation is to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. So we think of coaches, right? Encouraging, exhorting the players to do something, to practice, to do it right, to do it this way, to do it that way, whatever. A general, I think of a general in the army giving a speech before a battle. That would be an exhortation. I'm thinking of a scene in The Lord of the Rings right now. Aragorn the king saying, and everybody's terrified because the hordes of Mordor are coming at them, and they're a small army against this huge, massive army. And he can see all their trepidation, and he gets out there on his horse, and he says, there will come a day where people will faint in battle, and they will become disheartened and weak and lose courage and be slain on the battlefield. Today is not that day. Yeah! You know? Exhortation. Some people have a gift for that. They're inspirational, and we need inspiration in this day and age. We need to be reminded of who we are in Christ and that we have the victory, and we can go out with confidence and do what God has called us to do. And so those with the gift of exhortation are to exhort in faith. He who gives with liberality or generously, he who leads with diligence. Leaders are to be faithful and to have perseverance because it's tough and it would be easy to give up. But we're encouraged here, don't give up, be faithful. He who shows mercy, these would be people that have a lot of compassion and they want to show compassion. They want to help the afflicted and the needy. And they're to do that, it says here, with cheerfulness. You can imagine doing that would wear on you. I mean, I picture people who work in hospitals, like, you know, nurses who have to maybe see sick or dying people often, regularly. that could become discouraging, perhaps, especially if you're not called to it. But if you're called to it and you have this gift of compassion or mercy, then you can do it with cheerfulness because you're serving the Lord.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you. To let us know how God has touched your life through this program or to submit a prayer request, simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.